Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Austin Peterson here, Republican Senate candidate in the state of Missouri. How are you all? Isn't this nice? You're going to get a little bonus. This is a little podcast. I've kind of got a little cabin fever. It's pretty cold out here in Missouri, and I've been kind of bundled up and staying warm. Nephew spent the night last night. Had a wonderful time seeing my brother, who flew in from Boston, hang out with my father, who really just loves us kids. And my little sister, Jody Brooke, just came and picked up Mario this morning. And I'm getting ready to get back into the swing of things. Once the New Year's is over, boy, it's full steam ahead. But I wanted to do this podcast because my mind has been racing. You know, while I've been a little cooped up, so I sometimes get a little, I get a lot of thoughts that will go through my head, and I want to share them with people. But Twitter is a horrible medium. I don't know if you guys do follow my Twitter. It's at AP for Liberty. But I'm going to be referring back to that timeline today. And you can go back and check everything that I've said and compare it to the discussions that I've been having, because we're going to have a long conversation today. And, Twitter is just not a good medium for it. There's so much confusion. People don't understand. And a lot of people, this is the first time they're getting to hear from me. And this may be the first time they've ever listened to anything that I've had to say or an extended session, right? And this is going to be a long podcast. So if you've got a long car drive, I hope you enjoy. But this is not for somebody who just wants to get a quick little hit. This is not a Fox News segment. You're going to get into my brain here. And I'm going to share my deepest, most innermost thoughts about some of the big issues and things that are surrounding my campaign and some of the major national and maybe even local issues of the day. So welcome to my podcast. I haven't been able to do it recently because I've been off and I've been doing the campaign running for the U.S. Senate against Claire McCaskill and my Republican establishment candidate, the one that I have to beat in the primary. The real challenge is going to be the primary. But before we get to that, before we get to the big news of the day, I just want to talk a little bit about, if you hear a little like running heater, I'm cold, so I've got a little heater next to me. So if you're hearing this strange noise in the background, that's what it is. And I'm frankly not quite sure how I can edit that out, but I'm guarantee you two people are going to send me an email after this and say, Austin, I'm a sound editor. Let me do this work for you. And I'm like, it's sometimes hard to get this stuff up when you got more than, too many chiefs and not enough Indians, you know what I mean? And I don't put them out regularly enough to really focus on it. But I'll get back to it. Even when I'm a U.S. senator, I think I can carve out some time to do this stuff. So it's just tough when you're the underdog. So anyways, let's get to it. Turning Point USA. Charlie Kirk and the whole team invited me. Turning Point has turned out to be one of the most powerful college student organizations. Just right up there with Yale and with many organizations that are really making big waves. Charlie Kirk is getting praised by the president. He's making big moves. And frankly, I'm excited because, you know, it's a very different type of student organization, right? They're not partisan, right? They're just a college student. They accept anybody to go to their events as long as you're of the right age. Somehow I got in there. I got to go and debate with Jeff Hunt over the question of cannabis legalization. And you all know where I stand on that one. I think the war on drugs has been a massive, bloody failure, a war on our own people. And I will gladly stand up to any authoritarian tyrant bullies who say otherwise, who want to control our lives, tell us what we can or can't do, and then tell us that we aren't allowed even to make mistakes in this life. I mean, that's the whole problem, is they're like, well, the people will do stupid stuff. Well, you do stupid stuff too. Maybe you overeat. Maybe we should put you on a diet. It's the same liberal, the progressive mentality. It's everything that I like must be subsidized. Everything I don't like must be banned. That is the progressive mentality. I don't care if you call yourself a Republican and you're, oh, I'm a conservative Republican, but we cannot let veterans returning from war who have PTSD use something that may relieve their symptoms. No, we're going to give them opioids, and those are legal, right? So I think I made a pretty strong argument there at the debate, and I'm not afraid of anybody who wants to come at me because they have no moral high ground to stand. And I give Jeff Hunt on this debate at the debate a lot of credit because he was not. I think he was confused. I think it was really just true conservatism. I get Jeff as a true conservative in many ways because what he was arguing against was not the legalization of cannabis. He was arguing against the predatory capitalism. So he didn't like the fact that businesses would advertise their products, right? Just like liquor or cigarettes. I think he wants regulations on that. And, you know, it's impossible. That's a local thing, really. Not so much. There are some federal laws that come in for tobacco, but and things like that. Of course, we have the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. So it is a federal issue. But I believe in federalism. The states really have got to decide. And what's interesting is that I was having a discussion with somebody here in Kansas City who asked me, they said, Austin, do you really think the states can handle that? Do you really think the states can handle the drug issue? I'm like, well, if the states can't, then the idiots at the federal government sure as hell can't. Because you can't tell me that a small gang of 400, 500 people in Washington, D.C. are going to be able to make those decisions for all 330 Americans and all 330 million Americans of 50 states. You just can't. Anyway, so I could ramble on about this, but let's get to some more interesting. Let's move on. So, state of the race. Let's talk about it. I'll start with telling the story of what happened. I went to Gary Nolan's dinner. If you don't know Gary Nolan, he is a Columbia radio host. He's a big celebrity here in Missouri. He's got a really big show, and he always has on all the candidates. But he proudly and openly calls himself a libertarian. And I mean, this is probably one of the biggest libertarian radio hosts, you know, or at least one of the most influential in the United States. He was also a libertarian presidential candidate. So, in his show, he bills himself as a card-carrying member of the Libertarian Party. So, of course, he likes me. I appreciate the help because he's been giving me a lot of opportunity to stay now, to go on the show and talk to the voters of Missouri, which is so important and key. And he says nice things and he sort of sticks up for me now and then. And, you know, he's invited the other candidates on a show, I believe. I'm not 100% sure. But, you know, I think that Gary is going to be a very strong ally. I mean, he already is. But he had me on his annual dinner. He has a Christmas dinner, invited me to the CC City Broiler, and got to meet, it wasn't just about Gary, it wasn't all libertarians, it was Republican members of the Republican Central Committee. Actually, I'm holding all their business cards right here in my hand, tons, dozens and dozens. I mean, I had a woman come up to me after my speech at the event and say, how can I help the campaign? I mean, she was rare and ready to go because they were so impressed. They liked what I had to say to them. And I made a really good joke too that I ended the speech with, where I said, I said, if you like your attorney general, you can keep him. If you like your attorney general, Josh Hawley, you can keep him in Jefferson City. And I made that joke, and everybody laughed. It was so great, and it was such a beautiful event. Gary was cool as hell, and I also got to meet Stacy Washington. She's at Stacy on the Right on Twitter. She's got her own show too as well, KFTK 97.1 FM News Talk. Stacy on the Right, she's cool. And we had a nice conversation. And you know what was interesting? Stacy Washington's what she said about Hawley, because I also in my talk made the joke. I go, you know, you guys, I don't know if you've been told, but the primary has actually already been decided. Did you guys know that? And they were kind of looking at me with confusion on their face. I'm like, yeah, didn't you know Mitch McConnell and Danforth, and they've already picked who the candidate's going to be. So you guys don't need to worry, but do you think we should vote? And they're like, yeah, of course. Well, no, we're going to have a vote about that. I'm like, that's right. This is, we deserve a vote on this issue. And so I gave my talk and they liked it. But Stacy Washington got up there afterwards and said, you know, Austin, I got to say, you're right. I have not made up my mind about who I'm going to support in the primary. And it may not be Josh Hawley. And, you know, I went from table to table and talked to the people at this group. And this is, listen, I'm talking about Republican Central Committee members right here. I'm looking at their business cards. I had a wonderful time and I chatted with them. They like me. They like me a lot. I mean, it's going to take a lot of work to demonize me. But here's the problem. If the Republican establishment ever does come up against me, they've already said publicly that their strategy is that this is Kansas City Star this last week, that they're not going to even run a primary. Josh Hawley is going to focus entirely on McCaskill. And you know what I say? Good. Good, 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 good. Because, you know, why waste money attacking me? I mean, you spend all your money going after Claire. Soften her up for me, guys. Get her nice and rare. Get her nice and red. Beat the meat, as they say. but not in the bad way. Not in the bad way. All right. That's what you get when you get into, you're having too much fun in the podcast. You do those double entendres. A double entendre. Double entendre. You got to soften the meat up before you put it in the pot, right? You put it in the crock pot. So Claire McCaskill's done for. Whoever wins the Republican primary will be the next senator from Missouri. I plan for it to be me and the thousands of people who are supporting this campaign, hundreds of thousands if you count all the people who are interacting on social media, but that's another metric. So I'll just say this. I've been around the state now, all four corners and the center and the sides, side to side already. And I'm going to get around a little bit more. I've been doing all the events. Lincoln Days are coming up. And here's the thing. I think that the Republican primary voters are really going to like me. I think that the Missouri voters, the general electorates, are really going to like me. Do you know why? Because I'm not fake. Because I'm not a... I'm just different. I'm just a regular guy, but I happen to have a lot of experience in politics. And that was what somebody was going to bring up and I was going to talk about in this podcast, was that I'm not your typical standard cookie cutter, cutout of a Republican. I'm a different kind of Republican. And so one of the issues that people brought up of, let's say this is, now I'm going to talk, do what you're not supposed to do and talk about, your opponents, but I'm just going to say that one of the big questions people said they're going to come after me with is that is they're going to attack me on religion. And it's important for us to have this conversation because even though it's better to downplay it, I think it's, there's a lot of disinformation out there. There's a lot of people lying about who I am and what I believe and what I'm all about because there's, and again, it doesn't help that a lot of the times you get on the blogs and the blogs are fake news, right? A lot of times people write articles like, you may have right now, Joy Villa is a, is under a lot of heat right now, but I don't know, like sexual harassment claims aside, one of the things they're attacking her from is having this consultant who like supposedly is managing her campaign and she's with Gloria Allred and she denies all this stuff. And people turn around and said, Austin, this guy works for you too. And he's like, no, he doesn't. There's just so much BS. But when it comes to attacking me on my religion, this is what I saw this morning. This was a tweet that came out, and I wanted to talk about it. This is from @conservegene, so like conservative gene, @conservegene, it's conservegean, like gene, J-E-A-N, conservegene, @conservegene. She says, so my friend Mayor posted a picture of both of us. It says she's very proud of her friend AP Liberty. And then conservegene writes and says, he's an atheist, not voting for him. Hawley has the record to beat McCaskill. And it's like, whoa. So this is great. I mean, I could read you the whole thread, but let me just get the best parts. Zach Jackson responds and says, as a Jew who's kind of agnostic myself, I find it refreshing to have an agnostic candidate. I admire religious conservatives, but too many inject their own faith into politics, and it ends up like Todd Akin. That's correct. That's right. And then conservegene says, the media inflamed what Akin said. I don't want a repeat of loss. Claire picked Akin for her opponent. Missouri is heavily Christian. He can't win. And which I tweeted that and said, most of my supporters are Christians. And it's true. Most of my supporters are Christians, but we'll get into that in a minute. And then my buddy, Abel, he said, you're right. Claire picked Akin as her opponent. Guess what? She's also picked Hawley as her opponent, as evidenced by her ignoring Austin and giving media attention to Hawley. AP for Liberty is the threat to her reelection, according to her own actions. And then she says, he's not convinced me of that yet. Claire yet not mentioning him isn't proof of anything. Hawley is a far cry from Akin in state appeal. So this is the big meat of this issue. So conservegene posts this. This is the Democrats' plan. Set him up just like Akin. And this is just like a quote. She's posting a comment that was posted in a conservative blog in Kansas City. And essentially, it's just a random comment. It could be like a YouTube comment. So there's no reason to necessarily take any credence in it. But this is her argument, so I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. She posts David Robinson, who writes, I'm a liberal Democrat, and I'm voting for Peterson in the primary. Then McCaskill in November. You ask why? Because Hawley is a promise-breaking, weasel, liar, little GOP clone. That's why. Let McCaskill and Peterson fight it out. More Democrats than you know are playing the same tactic. Peterson will get Democrat votes in the primary, but not in November. So be it. So that's what she says right there. This is her argument. The problem is, of course, is that she has confirmation bias, and confirmation bias is believing what you want to believe. So she believes what she wants to believe from this guy, but then she doesn't believe other things in it, right? So when he says, I'm a liberal Democrat, first of all, you have to believe that the whole thing isn't a lie, right? He says he's voting for Peterson, could be a lie. Then McCaskill in November, that could be a lie. And he says, because Hawley's a little promise-breaking weasel liar. Now, that's True. So there's the truth that's in there. Little GOP cologne, very true. That's why. Let McCaskill and Peterson fight it out. More Democrats are playing the same tactic. Peterson will get Democrat votes in the primary, but not November. So be it. Okay. So let's break this down. Let's say that the Democrats do this, right? And there's actually not a lot of evidence that voter tampering in the primaries really significantly impacts the outcome. But let's put that aside. Let's say it does. I'll give you that assumption. Let's say that Democrats are going to vote for me en masse in the primary and then not in the general. Well, you have to believe that they won't actually vote for me in the general, right? So if you get to believe what you want to believe in that, then I'm going to get to confirm my biases as well and say, yes, that's great that they're going to vote for me in the primary, but I also believe that the Democrats are going to vote for me in the general, and here's why. Because they don't like Claire. I go to their rallies. I've gone to Bernie rallies. I've gone to Black Lives Matter rallies. I went to Donald Trump. I went to Donald Trump's St. Louis speech, and I went and I listened to the protesters. Do you know why? Because unlike a lot of people who have party blinders on, I realize I have to win a general election, right? I'm going after independent voters. I'm going to get some Democrats too, not all of them. But you have to understand what Claire's strategy is right now. If you're not paying attention to what Claire is doing, you are not part of the fight to take her down. Claire has gone to something like 30 town halls in rural districts. Now, does she believe she's going to win those districts by a majority? No way. She doesn't believe that. She's executing what their people are calling the rural out strategy. Let's put that in quotes. It's called rural out. And get the message out, guys, because this is really key. Because all Claire needs to do is not worry about St. Louis or Kansas City or Columbia or the big cities. All she has to do is go to the rural districts where she is losing by a big margin and up her vote a few percentage in each district. And she's got the resources and the wherewithal to do so. So if Hawley becomes the Republican primary nominee, you better watch your butts, because I'll tell you, it's not a guarantee. All she has to do is just get a couple of points more in each district, and that's going to counter any loss that she might have, even in her own districts, which are solidly blue. But even still, just like the rest of the United States, they're shrinking as the red America is pushing out towards the boundaries of the blue lines. I mean, have you ever looked at a map of this country? Take a look at the voters by precincts in Missouri as well. It's an ocean of red with little tiny seas, a little oases of blue. And Missouri is becoming the same way. So you've got to pay attention here, guys. This is real, real strategy. So she wants to say, she's talking about tactics here, but really why she's attacking me, and let's get to the higher philosophical stuff, because again, we've got plenty of time and we can talk a little bit, but she does, her whole tactical argument was a wash. It was wrong. It was incorrect, because I will be able to not only go to those rural districts and win all those rural voters, but I will also be able to go into her blue districts and get some of her Democrats who don't care for her and who like me on things like criminal justice reform and foreign policy. You have to win a general election, ladies and gentlemen, which leads me to the next point. They say Claire will attack us. This is what conservative Gene was saying. Claire will attack you on your religion, your lack of religion, because you're an agnostic. At first, she called me an atheist. She didn't know the difference between an atheist and an agnostic. An atheist is someone who says there definitely is no higher power, and an agnostic is someone who says, I don't know, right? An agnostic is the intellectually honest position there, because the agnostic cannot disprove a negative, right? You can't not prove that something isn't there, right? It's just like when you're falsely accused, like all these accusations flying around. Some of them might be false accusations, but the guys who are being accused can't always... They can't disprove a negative. If they did do it, then there's no evidence because they didn't take any actions, right? So the agnostic says, and this is the way to, like, this should operate with our criminal justice system as well. The agnostic says, I don't know, but I'm willing to listen to evidence. And I am willing to listen to evidence. I have an open mind. I have an open mind and an open heart, and I always have. Well, you know what? Actually, to be intellectually honest, because I think that's screwed, there was a time when I was a hardliner. But You know, just like a lot of things, like you grow up, like it's funny because, you know, the internet makes everything forever and people take something from years ago and say, oh, well, you said this and stuff like that. Well, it's like, yeah, but then it's like you realize you grow and you mature as a person, right? I've changed my points of view on a lot of topics, right? Like maybe free trade. I think I was more protectionist when I was younger, right? Like maybe I thought that was a good thing, you know, when I was sold the bill of goods about, you know, free trade, you know, we need tariffs or things like that. But you know, you grow up, right? You learn and you educate yourself. And that's the thing. So when it comes to the religious angle, Claire, if she attacked me over it, she would just be being a bigot. She would be an intolerant bigot, which she can't be because her Democratic base don't like that. If she tried to attack me over religious differences, just understand, yes, she claims to be a Christian, but she's also a noted liar. Remember her not meeting with Russian ambassadors, and then there was pictures. So do you want an honest agnostic or do you want a lying Democrat? You get a choice there. And you say, oh, well, what about Josh Hawley? Well, the problem is that he's a lying Republican. So we don't need to just send somebody to Washington, D.C. just because they have an R after their name, folks. We need to send someone to Washington, D.C. who is a true constitutional conservative, a liberty Republican, a different kind of Republican. And, you know, I get accused of being a libertarian all the time, and I have to just say, when people ask me at events, guilty as charged. I believe in liberty. I love liberty. I love my country. I love the Constitution. I love freedom. I love individualism, and I love the ideas of the founding fathers. It's why I'm doing this, folks. You know, if you listen to me now, I'm going to say a curse word. So if you can't stand that, then turn it off. But I'm not a bullshitter. I'm the real deal. And you can have a true liberty warrior, or you can have a ladder boy, or you can have a lying Democrat. So what do you want? Do you want a ladder boy, a lying Democrat, or a liberty warrior? That's a pretty good alliteration. Ladder boy, lying Democrat, or I should write that down. That just came to my mind, guys. I'm just repping. A ladder boy, a lying Democrat, or a liberty warrior. You'll see that one on my social media soon. I'll get some good ideas. All right, so anyway, so I don't think the religious thing is going to be an issue unless you make it an issue, in which case you're the one who's intolerant and you're the one who has a problem. So don't bring in that stupidity up in my face because I don't stand for it. We have freedom of religion in the United States. I've fought for religious liberty. I've fought for religious liberty for the last few years. And if you don't know that, you need to get on YouTube and Google some of my positions and watch some of my videos and see what I'm all about. Give yourself a chance to have a real statesman. I don't want to be a politician. I want to be a statesman. And I want you to be a part of this with me. If you're listening to this podcast right now, then join my campaign. Please make a donation, guys. This is the real deal. And whoever wins the Republican primary is going to be the next senator. Claire's gone. So help me out. Go to austinforsenate.com. Make a contribution. We accept Bitcoin if that's your thing. That was another thing she was attacking me about, Bitcoin. She's like, it's a Ponzi scheme. And I'm like, no, Social Security is a Ponzi scheme, but we're not going to get into Bitcoin and currency right now. Let's stick to the big news. So, yeah, truth is treason in the empire of lies, as they say. Thoughts on Trump? Yeah, so that's been a big thing. So a lot of people have been saying, hey, Austin, I don't like your thoughts on Trump. Well, nobody likes anybody's thoughts on Trump because everybody's got a bone to pick with the president, except for like the really hardcores. So the issue here is this. You know, I think that Trump has just polarized the hell out of people. I've never seen people so insane in my life. And let's take a perfect example here. I posted a meme on Instagram, went viral. It was so funny. Life on the trail is rough is what I posted, but it's basically an Oregon Trail meme. You know how you would die if you've never played the Oregon Trail. Essentially, it's just a recreation of, you know, the trials and travails of the settlers, and you play a settler, and every once in a while you would die of like cholera, or you would die of like trying to ford the river, but you'd drown. And so the Democrats lately have been, everything that the Republicans have done and President Trump is pushing, if we pass it, if we do it, people will die. People will die. If the government doesn't do this, people will die. And let's take a look at some of the things, major things that the president has done, where he says people will die. you have died of Paris Climate Accord, right? We pulled out of the Paris Climate Accord. People will die. People will die. Well, we had mass shootings in Las Vegas. So if you don't have gun control, people will die, right? Or net neutrality came up, Ajit Pai, and you got to say that meme boy, he was giving them hell. And they got rid of net neutrality. Amen, hallelujah. But people will die. And of course, we get to the end of the year and we're fighting legislation. We're trying to get the tax bill passed. And then we get the tax bill passed. And then it's like everybody's getting all these bonuses. And they're increasing wages to like $15 an hour voluntarily. But the Democrats are like, people will die. Millions and millions every day. So listen, if you cannot give the president some kudos for one, these signature accomplishments, Paris Climate Accord, not passing gun control that the Democrats were pushing, net neutrality, getting rid of net neutrality, passing the tax cut bill, Neil Gorsuch, if you cannot give the president the credit for these conservative victories, then you're probably just Trump derangement syndrome. You're either a Democrat who doesn't want smaller government, or you've got Trump derangement syndrome. And yes, there's plenty of things to criticize the president on. I have done so repeatedly. There were lots of issues, like trans in the military. I thought that was not a good move, but it looks like it's going under reevaluation. General Mattis actually has sort of, you know, staved it off, pushed it away so that they're still making up the rules and stuff like that. So, like, you know, those things you can nitpick. But, I mean, these big, huge deals, these are huge issues. These are the biggest issues of the day. Trump has scored conservative victories, and I would argue libertarian victories. They voted to take something like $284 million of funding. Nikki Haley read the UN the Riot Act. I have been dreaming of a day when I would see our government officials telling the UN to screw off. Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? Because I sure as hell am. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. And the MAGA crowd is like, you need to be more MAGA. And the anti-MAGA crowd is like, you're a Trumper, you're a Bannonite, you're Roy Moore, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, you don't know diddly squat about one, me, or two conservative principles. You don't. You don't. Just be like Ben Shapiro. Call balls and stripes. When the president's right, support him. When he's wrong, you got to do the right thing by the Constitution. Even Roy Moore said, I'd support the president as long as it was constitutional. Well, he got read out on town on a rail. But I'll tell you what. I will do what's right. I will do what's constitutional. I will be a good senator. And I will work with the president when he's right, which it looks like a majority of the time he is. Now, I didn't support the push to ban transgender in the military. I thought that was a distraction. I didn't support the troops in Afghanistan, the increase in troops in Afghanistan. But you know what? That's not my call yet. And you can disagree with me, but you're always going to know where I stand. Stop supporting liars who go to Washington, D.C., who tell you one thing and do another. Okay? The president, God bless him, is doing exactly what he said he would do. I never expected that in a million years. Never expected it. Because frankly, he had flip-flopped on so many different positions that there was no way to really know where the president stood. So when I see some of these actions in 2017, I got to say 2018 is going to be great. If he continues along this line, it's going to be great. And then I will take the place in the Missouri Senate. And I will be a far better friend to the Trumpers than any of the establishment punks that they're going to put up is. Far better than Lion Claire. Far better than job hopping ladder boy Holly. Far better. And think about this. I'm like, you know, watching Rand Paul and the way he interacts with the president. Rand has been, in many ways, the president's greatest ally because they share so much in common. But they have their differences. Like Rand Paul recently pushed for some measures for privacy, some anti-surveillance, and he was threatening to filibuster. And he got what he wanted. And isn't that wonderful? That's how it's supposed to work. That's how the system's supposed to work. So we got tax cuts. We got rid of the Paris Climate Accord. We got rid of net neutrality. Let's do some more. Do you guys want to do some more? I'm excited. I want to become a senator so we can get some work done. I want to cut spending. next. That's the big one. We got our tax cuts, right? Maybe we can even get more of those in the future. But the serious, serious job that needs to be done is to cut spending. I think Trump would cut spending if the Congress would put the right bill on his desk. I think he would. I think he would. I'm not just saying that. I have no incentive to kiss up to the president. None. I'm calling the shots. I'm calling it like I see it. Give me credit for being intellectually dishonest. Give me credit for being intellectually honest, even if you disagree with me. That's what I wanted to say. Give me credit for being intellectually honest, even if you disagree with me. And here's the thing. You can say, the problem is people say, oh, you're a shill, you're a shill, you're a shill. You don't realize I don't owe these people anything. I don't. I'm just calling it like I see it. Now, that offends people, you know. Some people actually get triggered at the mere sight of me, I've heard. You've done something in your life. If you ought to be proud if your mere presence were to trigger special snowflakes, right? What's so funny is that you always get these haters online, but you never see them in person. I had one guy once when I was running last year come up to me at an event and tell me what a POS he thought I was. He said, I'm a real POS, but he didn't say POS. And you know what? I actually, and he even clapped me on the shoulder, you know, he put his hands on me and said it. He was very not, I could tell he was very aggressive and didn't like me very much. And you know what? I went up on stage afterwards anyway, and I debated and I kicked butt all over in Colorado. And after that was over, you know what? I changed the guy's mind. I changed his mind. Now we're friends. Now we're friends. He likes me now. And that's what I'm going to do to all my haters in this primary. I'm going to win them over. I'm going to win hearts and minds. And I can do it. Believe me, I can. If you're listening to me right now, you're probably one of the believers already. But I'll tell you, if you're not, if you're a hater, give me a chance. Listen to what I have to say. Listen to my actual words. And don't take too much stock in tweets, remember? You can never always tell. Sometimes things are sarcastic or jokes. I love to tell jokes. This is how we get humorless, boring old codgers in D.C. It's, you know, because any sarcasm is is always misinterpreted on purpose, of course. So listen to my words. And if you have a question for me, here's how it should work. My policies are all out there. You know, do the research first on see what I said. Say, hey, Austin, you said this. Bring that to me. Say, why did you say this? You know, and I'll answer. Right? I can't always answer right away. But if you send me a direct message, I almost always do, like 90 to 95% of the time, you or my staff will bring something to my attention. So do it. Just send me a message if you're curious. If you are curious. But don't try and pick fights with me on Twitter or online or anything like that, because, you know, it doesn't breed the kind of type of discussion that we're having right now, sort of long, drawn out, thorough, you know, deep, in-depth discussions on topics. So anyways, I think Trump's doing a good job. I think he could do better. I think that everybody could do better, you know, and I think that I'm looking forward to working with him in the U.S. Senate. So, call it like I see it. Like I said, ladder boy, lying Democrat, or liberty warrior, take your pick, Missouri and the United States. Go to austinforsenate.com. Happy New Year's, ladies and gentlemen. Have a wonderful, wonderful holiday season. Back to work.